Life is full of adventures in the shape of places, people, and experiences. And in retirement, it's your turn to choose what those adventures look like. Whether you want to travel, fish, hit the beach, or see grandkids, it's important to take time to connect to your dreams for retirement. Welcome to the Delaware Retirement Connection with your host, Len. As a certified life coach and certified financial planner, Lynn combines life coaching and financial advisory skills to help retirees identify and fund their life goals, hopes, and dreams to make their retirement as amazing as they want it to be. Now, here's Lynn.
Welcome to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. I'm here with my wife, Joyce. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Len. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you always. We're going to be talking about a subject that's actually very interesting for me, very interesting for you. We'll be talking about connecting with your ancestry, and we're two different people from two different worlds in a way. We are very integrated in how we do life, but a little bit about my background. I am Ukrainian. Both my parents came from Ukraine, and this is actually a very interesting time in world history in that part of the world. And Joyce, your ancestry is much different than mine. Talk a little bit about your background.
I was born in the Philippines, and my mom and dad were both Filipino, and we had five siblings there, and eventually came to the United States when I was about eight.
And you had actually another one of your siblings born in the States, right?
Yes, the last sibling was born in America, but all of us were born as Filipino citizens.
So your ancestry, you'd say, is very important to you, and mine's very important to me. Two different cultures, two different ways to look at life even. So talk a little bit about how you would say your Filipino ancestry is important to you at this time of your life.
Well, I guess I find it important because both of my parents have passed away, and it's like you want to maintain some sort of legacy and connection with your ancestry wherever you go. So everywhere, every place we moved, every maybe church even, we always would look around to see if we can find another Filipino friend that we can connect with and be able to share our stories.
So that's actually interesting. You talk about two things. One is how the Filipino heritage is very important to you.
That's true. And the only thing that I wish that I continued was to be able to speak the language, because that is one thing that was kind of let go. And that's another connection level when you can speak the language as well. And there was the national language that I didn't get to learn, but our native language for where we lived, I could still understand some of those words, or I could hear my mom and my aunts discussing in the dialect and I can understand it. And so those kind of connections you share, even with the few words you do know, bring back a lot of joy and memories from the time you were there.
So that's even another discussion. You know, talking about language, there's a connection there. And so when you have a language that's part of your ethnicity, and in the Philippines, there are multiple dialects, so that might be helpful for our listeners that Tagalog is the national language, but there are several other very common dialects throughout the country. And so when you were living in the Philippines, you didn't know Tagalog, the national language, but you knew the local dialect.
Yes.
So when you are talking to Filipino folks, they're talking Tagalog, that's totally foreign to you, but a little bit of the Visayan is a little part of the language. So that language is a important connection. And for me, I'm Ukrainian. I was raised speaking Ukrainian. And that's a very important connection for Ukrainian folks, because this is something that I think people around the world are getting a little more understanding of what's going on in Ukraine, that the Russian culture had tried to dominate the Ukrainian culture for many years, for hundreds of years, actually. And they tried to actually stamp out the Ukrainian language. So for the Ukrainian folks, the Ukrainian language is actually a really part of their identity and even part of their existence. That helps folks understand why the independence fight in Ukraine is so important to people there because they've been trying to be exterminated by the Russian people, at least their culture and the language. So, well, let me say this. My cousin from my mother's sister, on his father's side of the family, so not related to me, he had aunts who were sent to Siberia because they would speak Ukrainian, and they were in exile because they would not speak the Russian language. So there's a lot of connection with the language, with the culture. But Joyce had said something a little while back that I think is very interesting, how we reconnect with our ancestry in different times of our lives. So when we're young, our ancestry is very important to us, right? Well, you're living in the Philippines. Well, that's all you know. That's part of your life. You come to this country when you're 8 years old, and you are living this new country. This culture is a very important part of your life. So there's an automatic sense of identity with that, with who you are. My story, I was raised speaking Ukrainian in my home. My brother, who's 2 years older, when he started school, really a couple months before starting school, I know folks may relate to this, but the year before you go to school, before you go to kindergarten, in the springtime, the preschoolers would go to the kindergarten, and they would go spend a day in a kindergarten class and kind of get a little sense of what school's all about. And when my brother went to that introduction to school, he was crying because he didn't understand the English language. And that period of time, in 6 months, he learned the English language when he started school. But that just shows how important our culture to us, our language, our customs, all very important to us. And you go through life and you get distracted, different cultures, everything coming to your life. And you get a little distracted maybe from your culture, or you get a fuller view of life. But you're talking about how when your parents passed, you saw this as a connection with your ancestry because you wanted your ancestry to be important to your children in a way that your parents could not continue that. Why don't you talk a little bit about that rebirth in your heart about your ancestry?
I think that just that realization that now we are that last history, at least for our immediate families, was really brought home, I said, when my parents both passed.
And this was just this past year.
And that was just this past year. I lost both of them in the same year, 2021. And I lost both parents this past year. And it's been a reconnection of getting my sisters together and sharing all the memories that we could, and actually bringing extended family, cousins and aunts and uncles, to try and kind of piece together the memories that we've had and we've shared in the past. And we really feel that this connection point is important going forward.
And it's also interesting, now you are the matriarch of the family, right? At this
exactly.
point, you are the oldest sibling, and all of a sudden, it's sort of on you to maintain that heritage, right? So, and I have a similar story. My parents both passed, but I'm not the oldest. My brother, George, is. So he has that role, and he's done a great job. We should talk a little bit about other connection points. Grandchildren. Now, we don't have grandchildren, but that will be another opportunity and maybe even a sense of obligation and just a real joy to connect our children with our ancestry through their children. So why don't you talk a little bit about how you might see that working out for you? Now, it's a little projecting your future, but this might be relevant to folks who have grandchildren and who have ethnic connections. What might that look for you, the way you see things down the road, that might be a helpful comment for folks who are listening to our program?
Well, I know usually when you share your culture, your history, food is always introduced into that. And so I think, I know with Len's family, we've always kept some of the food traditions that they've had, and the Filipinos have some of their food tradition favorites that my children have enjoyed. And I think that's something that I definitely want to pass down because they enjoy it, and I'm sure they would want to share it with our grandchildren whenever we have that happen.
You know, what's interesting is also that when you're younger and your mom, usually the mom, right? Sometimes the father's involved, but usually the mom is involved in cooking the food, and you're busy eating it, but you're not really all that focused on helping prepare. And then, like, mom's not around. How did mom make that? And how did they do that? So this is just a shout out to our listeners who have ethnic food that they do, to really make it a point to teach your children how to do that, so that that part of your culture isn't lost. And the traditions are, of course, very important. Really focusing on those traditions and trying to pass it on to the grandchildren. It's very interesting. I come across a lot of folks who are here from different countries, and in a way, they want to assimilate. They want to be Americanized, and they set aside their culture. But there comes a time where that becomes sort of a loss, and people realize, wow, I kind of drifted away from that important part of my life. And sometimes when you're retired and you have children who are really totally independent and raising their own children, that's a really good time to reconnect with that. So you're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. We'll be back in just a few moments. We'll be talking about connecting with our heritage through food. We'll be talking to Doreen at Doreena's Kitchen. Shout out to you all to just think about your heritage and how do you pass that on to the next generation. We'll be right back.
It's easy for the markets to throw our retirement portfolio off kilter, but with a little guidance, we can get things back on track. Len is here to help. Give him a call today at 302-501-7711.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? If you want to retire and stay retired, get the information you need by joining Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, for a special event. What's the best way for you to take Social Security? When can you sign up for Medicare, and what does it actually cover? Is there a way to lower your tax bill? These and much more will be discussed as you and a guest enjoy a complimentary dinner. View upcoming events at dedicatedfinancialservices.com. Reserve your seat today by calling 302-501-7711. That's 302-501-7711, or go to dedicatedfinancialservices.com. Plan today so you can do the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Lynn, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. Call 302-501-7711 or go to dedicatedfinancialservices.com. Firm offers insurance services and is not affiliated with the U.S. government. Investment advisory services offered through SGL Financial LLC, an SEC-registered advisory firm.
You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by dedicatedfinancialservices.com or call 302-501-7711 to talk to Len.
Thank you for listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. It's my privilege to have Doreena with me, Doreena of Doreena's Kitchen. Doreena, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, Doreena, a few things. One is you have an interesting name, and there might be some story related to that. So tell us a little bit about your name, and then really who you are and what is Doreena's Kitchen. What's that all about?
Well, I'm Doreena, and actually, Doreena is actually my nickname. My full name is Teodora, or Teodora, as you would say in Italian. And so they make it longer before they make it shorter. Little Dora is Doreena. So it kind of stuck my whole life. So that's where I'm at. And some years ago, I had a small restaurant in New Jersey, and I was trying to figure out what to call it. And I wanted something Italian, but everybody mispronounces Italian words that I liked, and I didn't want that. So my husband's like, your name is Italian, and it's different. And it's your kitchen where everybody feels welcome. So that's how Doreena's Kitchen came to be. It has been my restaurant. It has been my cooking school. It has been my catering. It's pretty much my life comes from my kitchen. So it's kind of stuck.
So your kitchen is really an extension of who you are. It sounds like you spend a lot of time in the kitchen, and sounds like you have a lot of friends visiting you in the kitchen. So talk a little bit about that. Talk about your kitchen table, not the literally the table, but your kitchen table, how you do life.
It's very much exactly. You've just pretty much hit the nail on the head. So I believe that everything starts at the table. I think all important things, all important decisions in life happen at the table. And so I've actually started the Back to the Table movement. You know, I guess I'm the stereotype of the Italian mother, you know, getting everybody around the table with the food. You know, when we're doing a business meeting, we meet for food. When we're, you know, celebrating, we serve food. If we're mourning, people bring us food. You know, it really is the center of all of civilization in a way. So I have just found, I guess back in 2017, I had closed my restaurant a couple of years earlier. I'd continued doing cooking classes. And someone asked me, you know, oh, you're always talking about Italy. When are you taking us? And so I had a group right in front of me who wanted to go to Italy. So talked to my cousin. We started this cooking thing in Italy. It was a culinary trip in my village in Italy. Now, you know, after a little time went by, someone found me by accident that was of heritage of my same town. And, you know, wrote to me, oh, you really do trips to this town. And so that year in 20, so it started in 17. In 2018, I took some people and three of the people were of heritage of the town. And all of a sudden, I'm not showing people my town. I'm showing them our town. And it just really started to grow. And this idea that, you know, I'm taking people to my town, which I really kind of want to tell you a little bit about. The town we go to is Roseto Valfortore. It is in Puglia, in the heel of the boot. But it has a special story. In the 1880s, people from the town in Italy immigrated to the United States, and they settled in eastern Pennsylvania working the slate mines. Well, they were kind of pushed aside a little by the Welsh and the Germans in the town they were working in, so they moved off to the side and they started their own little town, and they named it Roseto after the town in Italy. Well, fast forward to the 1960s, the doctor serving the town, he told another doctor, a colleague, that nobody in this town seemed to have any heart disease up to a certain age. And it was really higher than the national average. And so all these doctors and whoever, so they come and study the town. What are these people eating, you know, that they're so healthy and living so long? And it wasn't just heart. It was a lot of other ailments that they were lacking as well. So they go and study them. But even though they had all had gardens in their backyards, they were eating salted cured meats, food fried in lard, fatty cheeses. They were smoking and drinking and happy and healthy. So then they started studying further. They actually studied the town like 5 or 6 years. And what they ultimately attributed it to was I call the table, but it's not really, it's basically not necessarily what you're eating, but how you're eating together. So what they said was it was the community-centered, church-centered, family-centered life. They said that the people nourished each other. And with that, you know, you have this thing now that they call the Roseto effect. It's a phenomenon by which people live longer, healthier, happier lives by basically, I say, how they eat, eating together as a family around the table, facing each other. We should never be facing one direction. We should always be facing each other. And so this has grown. So I'm on a mission to revive the Roseto effect. I want everybody in America to know what it is. And this is my back to the table movement, which leads us there. So that's the mission of Dorina's Kitchen.
I did want to ask you if you would be so kind to, first of all, let folks know how to connect with you, and also talk a little bit about the multi-services that you offer.
Okay. Well, if you look up Dorina's Kitchen, if you just Google that, you find it all. So I'm Dorina's Kitchen on Facebook, Dorina's Kitchen on YouTube, on Instagram. Dorina'sKitchen.com is my website. So, and in dorinaskitchen@gmail.com is my email. So I love getting messages, emails. I get them in all, every platform. And it just makes me happy every time my phone dings and I've got a message from buddy saying, you know, somebody that wants to know more about whether it's learning to cook, a question about how to get their family to the table, or they want to go to Italy with me. So I have actually 4 groups of people going to Italy with me this year, starting in May, to see what the Roseto effect is all about, because when I take people there, like I said, they started as culinary trips back in 2017, but they're kind of more, it's a learn how to cook, learn how to live kind of trip to a peasant village, living the way they did in the old days in more community.
So how many folks would you say have been with you on trips, and how many people, this is like the nose, how many people have sat at your kitchen table?
Oh, good grief. You can't ask me that question because I can't count those. I've had a lot of people at my table. You know, I have an 8-foot table and a room that extends so we can put, you know, many, many people at my table. And nothing makes me happier than feeding people and seeing them smile, because they're not just smiling about the food. It's the connection that they're sitting at the table. The food is just a conduit to bring us all together. So, you know, and the trips to Italy, I keep the group small because I want them to be intimate. I want people to feel comfortable and at home and actually feel like they're living there, not just, you know, on a bus looking out the window, like looking into a snow globe. We get in the snow globe. We're part of it. Shake us up. We're just running around. So my groups are only like, you know, 12 to 14 people max. And in fact, I've never done more than 12 yet. And I like to keep it that way. And I do, you know, anywhere from 4 to 6 groups right now. It was growing in 2019. And then all of a sudden, you know, the bottom fell out with 2020. But we're coming back and we've got groups this year going and everybody's really excited.
Well, let's talk a little bit about one of your trips. So you get to Italy and then what?
Well, we pretty much take care of you from the minute you land. We, you know, pick all the transportation, all the lodging, all the foods. We cover everything from when you arrive to when you leave. The only thing that's not covered is one meal a day, because sometimes people just want to do their own thing. And in the village, no joke, you can get a meal for about $15. So it's really, and that includes with a wine. So you really can't beat it. It's a wonderful, because it's not a tourist destination. We have kind of the run of the town because I'm either related to or friends with everybody in town. And so we just, you know, do our thing and have a great time.
Talk a little bit about what sort of meals you teach people to cook and kind of like, you know, what is your favorite to cook?
The famous question, what's my favorite to cook? I just love to cook. It really doesn't matter. I like opening the refrigerator, kind of like playing my own game of Chopped in my kitchen because I have 6 kids. And I have 5 boys and before I got my girl. And so let me tell you, those boys were coming home from school or practice or work. And they're calling me up ahead of time. What's for dinner? Is it ready? Is it on? Yeah, I'm like, I'm cooking. But is it ready when I get there? I'm like, it'll be ready by the time you get here. So it was really always a lot of fun getting things on the table quickly because a bunch of hangry boys. But, you know, I don't know. I don't have a favorite meal. I love doing traditional of my family. So my one grandmother was Sicilian and I've learned all her recipes. I sat with her because she said, you know, you got to put enough cheese in the meatballs until you can smell it. But you got to know what that smells like, you know, so you got to be there and you got to smell it. And then, you know, so yeah, I love making the things that evoke memories. So those traditional family dishes, any of them, I love making. So, and then I love creating and making up something new. So it's just being there and getting the opportunity to be creative because I love doing that.
You talk about a lot of interesting things. I should probably point out a lot of things that you talk about with connection and what matters to people. People can find out in the Delaware area by going to DelawareRetiree.com. It's a resource to help folks connect to the area, just, Dorina, like you're trying to connect folks to your town in Italy. Similar kind of idea where that connection is so important. What I like to ask you is, what are you the most proud of when it comes to what you've started, this little movement or connecting people to the table? What is the one thing that you would say you're really, really proud of?
Before I get into the business side of it, I'm going to say my kids, because all 6 of them can cook and they are already, as young people in their 20s and early 30s, you know, showing that it will still hold water at this with these young people. And so that's my target. Sure, I get all kind of people. I've had taken people from, you know, kids that I've taught cooking classes to, you know, retirees, and everybody gets something out of it from a different level. But so my kids are first. But I'm really proud of the fact that I've had people, I guess, come to me, and when they tell me that I've made them comfortable in their own kitchen, when they tell me that one of my trips changed their life, that to me is, it gives me goosebumps, you know. Those are the things that just makes me happy when I see smiles. And when I just, it's not about me. I just feel like I'm a messenger of something that I think most people know deep down inside. And I just was, God gave me a big mouth. And so I'm the one that's supposed to share it.
And what is the one thing that you might want to share about yourself that you haven't done so before we take our break?
Gosh, what do I want to share about myself? Well, you know, I was made in Italy, born in Washington, D.C., spent my life in the D.C. metro area in Bethesda, Maryland. I grew up, spent 22 years in New Jersey, and now I'm happily out of Jersey down here in Delaware, and I'm really loving it. I don't know what is so spectacular about me other than, you know, I was a soccer player for many years and I coached for 35 years. So I think that has been one of the reasons why I have the mouth that I do, is yelling across the field for a lot of years. So I'm just used to one of the things I learned from my high school soccer coach. She said, she didn't tell us how we were doing it wrong. She just showed us how to do it better. And so that's how I try to teach people, you know, just come here, let me show you how to do it a little bit better. And maybe that way we can grow all together.
Well, thanks so much. You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. We'll be right back after a short break. Thanks for listening.
Feel like life's got you on the back foot? A little help with financial positioning from a professional can go a long way to help you set up for the retirement you've been dreaming of. If you'd like some help, give Len a call at 302-501-7711.
Remember that first paycheck when you started working all those years ago? You were finally out on your own earning money. You looked at the net amount and thought, whoa, what happened here? It could be this way with your retirement accounts. You know how much you've saved, but if you haven't planned for Uncle Sam, you could come up short in retirement. With tax laws constantly changing, there's a lot you need to know to make sure you're not paying more than your fair share. Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, can help. He's been helping families just like yours plan for retirement for more than 30 years. Len will help you create a retirement plan that shows you how taxes could affect you now and in the future. Set up a visit with Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, by calling 302-501-7711. That's 302-501-7711. Make sure you know how these changes could affect you so you can avoid those whoa moments in retirement. Call 302-501-7711. Firm offers insurance services. Investment advisory services are offered through SGL Financial, LLC, an SEC registered advisory firm.
You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by dedicatedfinancialservices.com or call 302-501-7711 to talk to Len.
We're back. Thank you for listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. I'm here talking with Dorina of Dorina's Kitchen, and we're talking about making life more wonderful and connecting with those things that really matter to us. And we're going to be really focusing on connecting with your ancestry. That's a very important part of our identity, or potentially a very important part of our identity. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about how maybe you can do that and how Dorina has done that. Maybe just some good learning for all of us from that. So should probably just ask you first, Dorina, you're Italian, and how important is that to you in a sense of who you are?
You know, I put great importance on it. And it doesn't mean that any one of us from any background is any better than the other. I think we should all be really proud of who we are and where we come from. You know, they say America is supposed to be a melting pot, but honestly, I think we're supposed to be more like an antipasto platter, where everything, seriously, everything shines on its own, but together it's a beautiful platter. So we don't have to be all, you know, necessarily, you know, it's smushed together and be, you know, one thing. I think we can be all of our individual things and be proud of it instead of being ashamed of it, as they were many years ago when people came from other countries and changed their names. They're trying to Americanize. You know, these kind of things. I think America's beauty is its differences. And I think people are a lot more alike in their differences than they are when they try to be all the same, you know. And so I teach people, when I'm teaching them how to cook, one of the things I do is I tell them, you know, seek out your heritage. And then, you know, I did have somebody one time say to me, well, I'm not all one thing like you are. You know, I have four grandparents and they're all from four different backgrounds. I said, well, fine. I said, find something, whether it's something you remember from a kid, from that grandmother, that grandfather, whatever, or recipe, but seek out each of those four things and bring the pieces into your home and create your own traditions. That's the thing about heritage. It gives us, you know, we as humans, I think we need tradition and ritual. It gives us something. It bonds us, whether we're the same. I bond very close with my daughter's best friend is Venezuelan, and she, her family and ours has become very, very close. They're from Venezuela. We're from Italy, but we have different traditions, and we bring them together sometimes for different holidays we've gotten together, and they bring something from their tradition and we bring something from ours, and we can appreciate each other's because we know who we are each, you know? And so there's a lot of joy in that.
There's a lot of joy and there's a lot of truth in that. The reason I was laughing is because I've never heard, I've heard of the melting pot, I've heard of a salad, but I never heard of America being a pasta tray. So that's, or at the
not
pasta.
Not a pasta tray, an antipasto, you know, that's the appetizer with all the things on it. You know, it's very good.
I get it. I just it makes me chuckle. But, you know, I think you really, really connected with that important thought that it all comes down to our identity. And we talk a lot about core soul needs in our program. Our identity, life purpose, a sense of peace, a sense of connection and love, how that all ties together. And so we'll try and touch on these points. Again, identity, life purpose, peace, and love, how that relates with this Rossetto. Maybe I'm saying it. I'm trying to say it Italian. How that connects with that Rossetto effect and you know, how you try and tap into that. So how do you go about tapping into your ancestry, which is a very important part of your identity? How do you draw to that?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of lucky because I'm first generation, you know, so my dad was born in Italy. My mom is also Italian. She's Sicilian, you know, but I'm first generation here. So it's a little easier for me because I grew up, I speak the language, you know, we actually went back and I went to preschool in Italy. And so I came home speaking Italian more than English. So I do speak, and that does bring, but you don't have to speak the language to understand and appreciate your heritage. You know, I was running an Italian festival in the DC area, you know, 25 years ago. And there was an old Italian priest, Father Carmen. He was a really cool guy. And he said to me, we were talking about how important it was keeping this festival going. And he said, you know, he said, first you have your heritage, because everybody here is somebody from someplace, you know? And he said, people more in touch with their heritage tend to be more in touch with their faith, because oftentimes they're intertwined. You know, if I'm Italian, most likely I'm Catholic, you know, and people more in touch with their faith tend to be more in touch with their families, because you've got the rituals and traditions from your heritage and your faith that bond your family. And people more in touch with their families tend to be better individuals. This was his little story to me. And it really resonated with me over my lifetime. And because I was in my 20s, you know, when I was working on this thing with him, and I was really moved by that, because it has all those things. Heritage, faith, and family always have been important to me. You know, they say that, I'm going to go kind of extreme here, but, you know, school shooters, they say that the top two common denominators with school shooters here in America is mental illness and broken families. Well, mental illness isn't always chemical. Sometimes it's situational, coming from those broken families. So, you know, with the broken family, if we just all sat and ate dinner together at the table, you know, there's a greater chance if we cook dinner, there's a greater chance we're going to end up at the table. If we order a pizza, it's going to end up on the coffee table in front of the TV. So my mission is, you know, I very simplistically think I can save the world one table at a time just by teaching people how to cook, because they're going to bring it to the table and the table is going to put the family together. You know, you got a kid sitting across from you who's looking a little glum, and you say, hey, what's the matter? And they're like, oh, you know, somebody's mean to me at school today, or I failed a test. Well, let's get you a tutor and let's invite that kid over for cookies. Boom, you got two problems solved before they become big problems. And I think that's where it all starts. I think the table is the bottom building block of society. And when the foundation is strong, the building stands strong as well.
You know, the kitchen table, the way you talk about it is the way we at Delaware Retiree talk about connection. So you're talking about a means to connect, and it's really all about connection. Yeah, our program is called the Delaware Retiree Connection. We're trying to connect folks with the area, things that they enjoy doing, with people they enjoy doing it with. And our tagline, our motto is love living here, because we want people to love living here. We want this to be integrated and connected community, people connecting with each other. But what's interesting during what you do is you talk about connecting all the different parts of your life internally. And the ancestry could be part of that. There's other ways to do it, but we're really going to be focusing on the ancestry and talk about what the challenges are for folks who are retired to continue that connection with their ancestry and those things that really can be very important to them, that it's part of their identity. What could you share with that?
I think the most important thing that people who are retired, so, okay, we're in the second half of our lives, I think it's really important that we continue to share what we know, because we're the connection to the generation before us, but the generation below us doesn't know it. And unfortunately, I see a lot of times when people comment, say on my page or something, when I say do something, and they're like, oh, I wish, you know, I wish we used to do that. We used to get together on Sunday. We used to have family dinner. Well, my husband and I are now, you know, I hate saying the word empty nesters, but we are. But we sit down at the table every night. So for us, for our relationship, for our life, it's important that the two of us sit together at the table. We sit breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, and I think that what the other thing that's important is that we are the teachers. I think there's a real important part of heritage is not just what has gone before, but what we pass on after us. And if we let that go, then we're going to lose generations of information and of teaching, and that our kids and our grandchildren will never get to know. You know, I met a woman who came to me. She was actually of heritage of my town. And I was lucky enough to be there with her when she got what she called her first connection to anybody. So basically, she was adopted. She's 80 years old. She's adopted. She comes to the, she had just found out 2 years earlier that she was of Italian heritage and that she was from our town. So I get to take her there and I get to share with her, you know, where her ancestry is, because she never knew. And I get to take her to the town hall, to the records guy, and he hands her birth certificates of her father and grandfather. Well, let me tell you, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps right now every time I tell the story, because she's sitting there with, you know, tears in her eyes, and I'm behind her crying my eyes out because I'm like so moved to see how important it was for this woman at 80 to just find out what her heritage was. And now she's sharing it with her son. And I mean, it's a beautiful thing. We need to do it. We need to not forget where we come from, and we need to share it. We need to not give up. We need to not say, oh, the kids these days. No, it's the grandparents these days. If we don't teach it, we're just as guilty of not passing on the good information that we have to those that are younger. Whether they want to hear it yet or not, they'll hear it.
That's a really powerful story. You're listening to Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. I'm here with Dorina from Dorina's Kitchen. Maybe I should say Dorina, the Dorina's Kitchen. And I'd like to encourage our listeners to go check out the website and figure out how you can maybe connect a little bit more with things that might be important to you, whether you're of Italian heritage or not, or just want to maybe enjoy some Italian cooking or enjoy Italy and connect with that culture and that heritage there. Dorina, we have just a little more time, and I would like for you to share just any other story or whatever you think might be important to share about why people may want to connect in a way to their ancestry, and what are some opportunities maybe here locally that they can do that?
Well, I do think that obviously, just doing your own research and learning about your family, it's a lot of fun, actually. Aside from being important, it is fun. So I take people, and I have wonderful cooking classes here at my house on occasion. I am in and out of the country now and then, going on these trips to Italy. But when I'm here, I love doing cooking lessons, whether it be for a birthday party or just a group of friends coming together. And we will learn how to cook and then have a meal together and show, you know, just exactly how it's all supposed to be. And it's really a great time.
How about those folks that really aren't so accomplished and they don't really know the difference between a pot and a frying pan? What can you do for those folks?
I can teach them the difference between a pot and a frying pan.
I'm not sure it's going to feed the family, but
you're
what
gonna
else
ask
could you
me that simple question. You know, there's everything, you know, how to cook for one person, how to cook just for two people, how to save things, you know, cooked for today that will also be a meal for tomorrow or next week. But there are little things that we can do that can help life be a little easier in the kitchen. You know, I like to not make the kitchen be the problem, you know, in for us to get together at the table. You know, there are very simple things, and most cooking is really simple. And if you learn how to do the basics, then you don't need to constantly be married to a recipe where you're like, oh no, I don't have this ingredient. What do I do now? So there's really a lot of simple tips and tricks that can be learned to help just about anybody.
And if you deal with others, it maybe doesn't matter all that much, right? It doesn't maybe matter all that much. It's more the experience and the relationship.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining us, Dorina. This is Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. You were listening to Dorina from Dorina's Kitchen. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Thanks for listening.
It's easy for the markets to throw our retirement portfolio off kilter, but with a little guidance, we can get things back on track. Len is here to help. Give him a call today at 302-501-7711.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? If you want to retire and stay retired, get the information you need by joining Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, for a special event. What's the best way for you to take Social Security? When can you sign up for Medicare, and what does it actually cover? Is there a way to lower your tax bill? These and much more will be discussed as you and a guest enjoy a complimentary dinner. View upcoming events at dedicatedfinancialservices.com. Reserve your seat today by calling 302-501-7711. That's 302-501-7711, or go to dedicatedfinancialservices.com. Plan today so you can do the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. Call 302-501-7711 or go to dedicatedfinancialservices.com. Firm offers insurance services and is not affiliated with the U.S. government. Investment advisory services offered through SGL Financial LLC, an SEC registered advisory firm.
You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by dedicatedfinancialservices.com or call 302-501-7711 to talk to Len.
We're back. Thank you for listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. We're talking about connecting with our ancestry and how that's such an important part of who we are, because it's really a very important part of our identity. As a matter of fact, it might be a foundational part of our identity. It certainly was when we were growing up. Young folks with families raising us, that sense of ancestry or heritage was extraordinarily important to us. And this would be a good time to point you to a resource we have available called Maximizing Your Retirement. It's a resource available on the dedicatedfinancialservices.com website. Just go to dedicatedfinancialservices.com and look for the resources, and you can get that booklet for yourself. It's called Maximizing Your Retirement, and it's designed to take you through a process to think about who you are, what's important to you, the things you want to be involved with that become your life goals, hopes, and dreams, so that you can make your life as amazing as it can be. If we look at identity, there are several categories that are listed in the resource. The first of them is ancestry and nationality. That includes ethnicity, race, and culture. We also have listed on their roles and responsibilities, abilities and skills and things to do, experience, life experiences, activities and accomplishments, relationships and connectedness, special interests and faith, as well as physical sense of identity. Those are all listed and something you can work through, but we really want to just focus on the ancestry part of our identity. Well, why is that important? Well, first of all, when you look at the core soul needs concept that we talk about here at Delaware Retiree Connection, you have four components that are essential for folks to have a sense of fulfillment in their lives. And those include their identity, life purpose, peace, and love. Identity is really the starting block. That's really who you are. And your identity will really drive everything about your life, including what it is that you see as your life purpose, what drives you, what motivates you, and what you want to do. So if we don't have a clear sense of identity, many parts of our lives will be scattered. They'll be disconnected with who we are, and they won't have really much of a meaning that resonates with us, because ultimately at our core, we are who we are. And for the things that we do, the things that are most important to us, they really need to connect with that identity of whatever source of that identity is. In this case, we're talking about ancestry. The peace and love part of it is really more who we do life with. But again, we're talking about the ancestry. So when we look at ancestry, there are different levels of importance at different times of our lives. And certainly that can increase, it can wane, it could be more or less important in different parts of our lives. From my experience, from talking to many folks, that is a most important part of our lives when we grow up. When we're raised by families, particularly if we have a specific ethnicity, a specific culture, that is very much part of our lives. It could be anything from a culture. It can include such things as the arts, music. It can include dance. Every culture has its own specific features. For many cultures, language is particularly important, particularly in those cultures where authorities try to stamp out a language or they try to enforce a language on folks to use. In those cultures, language is especially important. The food is a extraordinarily important part of ancestry because it's the food that we consume, which is the sustenance of life, that is really a very important part of just, of course, living. But it goes beyond just that because it's that food that is a connecting point in families getting together at the kitchen table, getting together, sharing those things that are important to each other. It's that time that brings people together, that they can really meet with each other and speak into each other's lives, be open, be honest, and live in the moment. That's also a very important part of food and eating, is that when you're having that meal, engaging, it's a very active time. You know, your hands are busy, your mouth is moving, you're speaking, you're passing things around the table, and so that creates engagement, that creates a sense of connectedness, and that's very, very important. Of course, other aspects of ancestry that are very important are the people that share that ancestry. And the reason that's important is because ultimately it's people who we connect with that makes life most enjoyable, makes life worth living. So when we do life with folks who share our ancestry, that does a few things. One, it draws us closer to our ancestry. It also draws us closer to each other. Because when we have those commonalities, those common interests that are foundational to us, part of our identity, that can't help but bring us together. Now, we were talking about how our sense of identity with our ancestry can change over time. It's particularly important in our earlier years because we don't really know anything different. We're just raised by parents or family, whatever the situation is where we're growing up. And what we see in those years is a very small microcosm of the world, but it is our whole world. And when we particularly live in an ethnic, a specific ethnic community, those unique parts of life become our parts of life. And that's particularly important when children are impressionable and they carry this out throughout their entire lives, which is why it's very important to have these points of connection, these traditions. And this is a shout out to folks who are retired, who have children, and in this case, more importantly, grandchildren, to connect with those traditions, because those traditions are huge, huge connection points with our identity, who we are, what's important to us, what gives us fond memories. So please think about how you can make traditions part of your generational family. So we grow up and then we go out and live our lives. And then, of course, the world gets bigger. It becomes less specific to the way we were raised. We're involved with many different activities, things that are outside our culture. We experience other cultures. We get involved with people who don't share a culture. We might get involved with folks who have different views than what our culture has. And so over time, our sense of ancestry and the sense of identity that has to us can wane. It can become a little bit smaller. But there are certain things that kick in that bring up our ancestry, the importance of the ancestry. Those are the different cultural aspects, whether it's the arts, music, dance, whether it's connecting with the language, listening to some songs. We may not know the words to the songs if we don't speak the language, but the phonetics of the words and the music becomes important to us, and it reminds us. And the food that we eat often also connects us to our ancestry. So those times of the year that are particularly important, the holidays, the different times of celebrating our culture. It could be an Independence Day. It could be a specific holiday to our culture. It could be just a Christmas or Easter resurrection celebration that we celebrate in a way that's specific to the community that we were a part of for many years becomes extremely important, and it connects us with our identity. The other time that our ancestry becomes more important to us is when we get to those stages of life where we become a little more thoughtful, a little bit more reflective, and just really trying to put the different parts of our lives together. And that, for many folks, is the time of retirement. In the time of retirement, we have many opportunities to reconnect with our ancestry. For many folks, this includes visiting their homeland. A lot of folks in their retirement years like to travel. It's a great time to find different cultures that were part of your life at one time, reconnecting with them, or maybe identify other cultures that you may want to explore. But when we're talking about our ancestry, we really want to reconnect with an ancestry, a trip to what's called the old country. There's nothing better than that because we're immersed in that culture. The different parts of life that we remember, whether it's the languages or the different cultural expressions, whether it's the food we ate, the language that surrounds us, and maybe we know a little bit of the language, or maybe we know the language pretty well, but we haven't had a chance to use it because in this country, maybe we don't come in contact with a lot of people who speak the language. So when we go to that culture, when we're submersed in it, it's kind of an immersion. We are very much connected with our ancestry, and it gives it a time to blossom. The other way we can really press into our ancestry is by sharing it with others. And that becomes really most important or easiest to do in a generational expression. So for folks who have children, have grandchildren, what a wonderful time to connect with your ancestry by connecting it to those you love, your family, your children, your grandchildren, and by teaching them the culture, teaching them the traditions. That does a few things. One, it reignites that passion in you, and it also becomes important to the next generation. Because if it is important to you, you do want it to be important to your children, your grandchildren, and have that be passed on for years and years. So we're talking here at the Delaware Retiree Connection about connection with our ancestry. This is Len, your Delaware Retiree Advisor, encouraging you to think a little bit more about who you are from the standpoint of your ancestry. Get connected with it. Think about those things that matter to you throughout your life that was tied to your ancestry, and see how you can make that a more important part of your life by connecting with others who share your feelings about your ancestry, and maybe make it a point to do some specific things that help you remember life growing up, get a chance to re-engage in that culture, maybe think about taking a trip to the old country, and make that ancestry an important part of your life. Thank you for listening. This is the Delaware Retiree Connection with your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor.
Leonard P. Haydachuk is an investment advisor representative of SGL Financial LLC and offers insurance services through this SEC-registered firm. He also offers insurance products and services in Delaware as an individual licensed and appointed insurance agent through Dedicated Financial Services.